Welcome to the Other Side of 40. My name is April Grant, and I'm here to help women make positive changes with their lives after the age of 40. Let the Other Side of 40 become your community to find inspiration and support to start the next chapter of your life. Today, we welcome Tove Marin Stokkestad. She is a Danish-American writer and author with a unique, sarcastic, and relatable voice in the parenting community. After spending over 20 years in the financial services industry, Tove followed her true calling and started writing full-time, primarily on her blog, Mama in the Now. As a mother of four boys, she reports live from the trenches of motherhood and successfully helps parents everywhere to parent with heart, humor, and hunger. Welcome, Tove. Nice to finally get to connect. I think you were one of the first people to respond to my request for guests. So I'm very excited. And I wanted to start with, tell us your story.
Okay, so my name is Tove, and I'm really excited to be here. I got your email, and I thought this is exciting because I'm 40. We don't have to say that, but I am. And this just really spoke to me because it's a passion of mine, connecting with women in their 40s. So I'm a Danish-American mother of four boys. I grew up in Denmark, but I moved to Florida in 92 to be an au pair, and I just ended up staying in the U.S. So I've been here 28 years now. And we recently moved to the Seattle area about 2 years ago. So I've been blogging since 2013, and my blog in 2013 started out as a super relatable community for parents with boys, because boy moms just sort of have their own little community. Yes. And then over the past couple of years, I've really found a good big interest in the science of happiness and the Danish word hygge, which means coziness. You may have seen it around different stores or seen it on the internet with blankets and fuzzy socks and a hot cup of tea. It's all about hygge. And I just wanted to get on here today and share about why I think hygge is perfect for women in their 40s. And I just want to give you a little backstory.
Please do.
So 11 years ago, I gave birth to my second son, and he was born full term. It was a C-section. It was planned. Everything went well. And when he was about 3 days old, he had a fever. So I called our pediatrician and I said, you know, what do I do? How much Tylenol do I give him? He has a little bit of a fever. And our pediatrician said, if he has a fever, he needs to go to the emergency room. He's going to get a lumbar puncture. You're going to be admitted. I was like, no, that's okay. Just forget I called. I'll just give him a bath and, you know, we'll call it good. And he's like, no, you know, you have to go in. So long story short, he had viral meningitis. We have no idea where he got it from. Wow. And he was in St. Mary's PICU for a week and got antibiotics and everything. And we got him home after 8 days. And suddenly one night he stopped nursing 2 days after we got home. So I called my pediatrician in the morning and he said, bring him in. We'll check him out. We ended up being rushed back to the ER and our son was in heart failure. From the meningitis had gone into his heart and his lungs. And so we were in the ER and we were waiting for a helicopter to air flight us down to the University of Miami. And I saw the chaplain walk by our room and I said, I'll say a prayer for that family who needs the chaplain, because whoever needs a chaplain in a PICU is bad off. Sure enough, the chaplain went down to the nurse's station to find out where we were. And then he turned around, came in our room. So I was like, So he came in, he said, can I say a prayer? And I said, yes, please throw them all at me. And so we said a prayer and then he looked at me, he said, do you have other kids? I said, yes, I have an older son. He's 18 months old at home. And he said, okay, my advice to you is going to be where you are. And I thought, be where you are? Well, what do you mean? And he said, over the next weeks and months, you are going to be pulled in all different types of directions, and you need to be present in the moment. And it's going to be very hard. You're going to be in the hospital with your infant. You need to be present in the moment, keep an eye on his vitals, keep an eye on how he's doing, learn as much as you can about his condition. And you need to trust that your other son at home is well taken care of. And then you're going to have opportunities to go see your older son at home, and you need to trust that your son in the hospital is well taken care of. You need to be present in every moment.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, okay, that was, and then he left our room. And as he left, I was standing there over my son, and I had this vision of my son as a toddler, blonde. And at the moment, you know, he was only 10 days old, so you couldn't really tell his hair color that well, but he was blonde with curly hair, and he was running in a grass field looking over his shoulders at me. And I thought, he's going to be okay. He's going to be a toddler. He's going to pull through this, and he's going to be okay. And so he did. He's 11 years old now. He does have blonde curly hair, as the only one of my four kids. So since that time, our son ended up being in the PICU for another 8 weeks on life support. And be where you are became my mantra. Be where you are became the thing that got me through being a heart mom, every challenge since then. And it's been 11 years now. And it's just everything in my life. Be where you are. It's so powerful. The moment can suck, quite frankly. And if you're just present in the moment, it pulls you through. So right now, as we're in quarantine here, you know, with four boys, two dogs, and, you know, everybody, nobody knows how long we're here for.
Right.
Where you are, you know, I can get out of my head thinking, oh, this is crazy. You know, how long are we going to sit here? And I just sort of dial it back to, let me be present in the moment. And that is more than anything has always been my message with my blog and my message to other, you know, newly diagnosed families, and especially in this time right now, be where you are. And I don't want it to be just a cliche, but I want it to be something powerful. You know, as you say each word, you're like, okay, that totally makes sense for me. And that is also how I describe the Danish word hygge.
Hygge. So tell us more about hygge.
So hygge, it's, you know, when people say, explain hygge to me, I really just say it can't be translated. It has to be felt. So growing up in Denmark, it's a lifestyle. It is, the Danes don't even think about it because it's so ingrained in them. When they sit down for a meal, it's a family meal. They take a long time to eat, let me tell you. And, you know, somebody pops over and to visit you, you always take time to sit down, offer them coffee, offer them cake, and you just sit down and you talk and you hygge. At night, you know, you don't necessarily have the TV on. You sit around and you talk and you play games and you hygge. Just everything is about connecting with people. The connection is where they find their happiness and their hygge. And, you know, hygge can be done alone too. It's a feeling, and you can have that by yourself too. These days I take my dog for a walk, I throw an audiobook on my phone, and that is hygge. It's the place where you just feel comfortable, you're content, you're in the moment, you're present in the moment. You be where you are.
And so what is the significance to you about gaining or learning about hygge as you age, and how, you know, as you get older, now that you are in your 40s, what is the significance to you?
So I feel, I've been studying a lot about happiness and what truly makes us happy as people, you know, and of course it's a gross generalization. But in our 20s, we think it's more materialistic things, you know, let's go out, get a flashy job, get a cool purse, get those distressed jeans, and get an invitation to a cool party. Those things will make me happy. And, you know, scientists have gone in and asked people, how happy do you think you're going to be if you had these genes? And then they get the genes and they measure their happiness again. And they realize those materialistic things don't make us as happy as we initially think they are going to make us. The cool purse, eventually it will end up with dry receipts and crackers in the bottom of it, whether it costs $30, $300, or $3,000. The job, it's going to be long hours. You're going to have a cranky boss. The distressed genes, we're going to put our foot through that hole in the knee anyway and blow them out at some point, you know, right. So they're just not going to make us that happy. In our 30s, and at least, you know, for me and a lot of the people I've talked to, you know, we want a nice car. As women, I think we strive for a good career. We work really hard at having, you know, a good job with a good title, a good benefits and everything else, a fancy wardrobe. And at that point, we also realize, well, that fancy wardrobe, it's going to need ironing. It's going to need dry cleaning. That stuff doesn't make us happy. the shiny car comes with a big car payment. As a working mother, I worked in financial services for 20 years. So with four kids, that was impossible. So we had to make some tough choices. So it's really hard to find that happiness in your 30s. And then I feel like we get to 40 and just something clicks. You know, yes. we realize like that fancy wardrobe, why bother? I'm going to be wearing yoga pants and a graphic t-shirt anyway, you know?
Right.
You know, the long job title and the big career, that's all fine and good. But what about a job or a career or a hobby that really works, speaks to our good personality strengths and just really makes us happy regardless of what the income is? As long, of course, as long as our basic needs are met of food, right. Shelter and a decent income, you know, but right. More, I think we realize in our 40s that more doesn't make us happier, mm-hmm. as long as we have our basic needs met, you know, the shinier purse doesn't make us happier than that Nine West clutch that we had, you know? And that's at least, you know, for me and a lot of my friends. So I feel 40 is a good time for us to dial it back to basics. It was in my early 40s, I was dealing with a lot of migraines, and my acupuncturist said, how much sleep are you getting? I said, it's good solid 6 hours or something. And he's like, what do you do before you go to bed? Oh, I work on my laptop. I'm a blogger. I work till like 1 o'clock. He said, you need sleep. I can do that when I get old. He said, no, do me a favor, just don't work in your bed at night and try to get some sleep. Mm-hmm. And it was then, this was 3 years ago, and I stopped working, just cold turkey, stopped working at night, and I picked up a book, which is something I hadn't done in many, many years. Mm-hmm. And it was, sounds silly, but it was life-changing. And that is part of Hygge. Just dial it back to basics, you know, read a book, you know, you don't always have to be the best and be the smartest or all those things. Of course you should have aspirations in life, right. But just getting back to basics and finding happiness in the moment has been really important for me and has really changed personally my happiness. And that's where Hygge comes in. And especially now that we're stuck at home, you know,
right.
Board games and walks.
So what you described is what I consider like the epiphany moment. So mm-hmm. the aha moment, the awakening. And I've talked to many women, especially once I was considering this podcast. So this podcast started based on my own awakening, I call it, last year, where I kind of woke up and looked around and I just wasn't happy. And so I was searching for what would make me happy. And then part of it is dialing it back. I ended up turning down a lot of things and stop, you know, just seeking stuff to have stuff to build that resume that no one reads and no one cares about, because quite frankly, I don't know if I'm ever going back to a full-time day job. So what am I building a resume for? And just focusing more on my family. And I really actually have appreciated the quarantine time because we've been able to just chill out and not have those added stresses of going here and doing that and getting up. And although I was talking to a friend yesterday, I was very surprised where she said that her daughter is still in everything. And I was like,
really?
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's all online. They all do virtual lessons, but she's still in dance and piano. And I was like, I need that break. I got tired just listening to her tell me that she was still in it. So, but, you know, just being able to dial it back and just sit with my children, me and my girls my 6 and my 8-year-old have been sitting with me and we've been watching TV and playing games and talking, and they talk so much. And so very much talking. But it's nice. It's nice to just not feel rushed to do something else, not to be on the way out the door. Like, oh yeah, we could talk real quick, but it's bedtime. Or we could talk real quick, we got to make it over here. Or we could talk real quick, you know? It's just, yeah, what do you want to talk about? So.
Yeah, we're reading the Dog Man series for the second time now for my 6-year-old, and it's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do have the time for it. So it's okay, you know, and that's what I feel I can appreciate, mm-hmm. that slowness and take it in and be in the moment and not feel rushed. And, you know, there are days during this quarantine where I'm probably less of a, you know, productive mom, just because the stress of it all gets to you. And that's when I sort of have to, you know, send myself for a walk with the dog and just say, all right, be in the moment. There's nothing you can do. No amount of stress, no amount of worrying is going to change the situation. So just be present. And it has really truly changed, personally, my happiness in my 40s, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't have aspirations in life and goals, but, you know, as a writer and a blogger, I have my list of goals and things I want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, like I was telling a friend last night, I blog, I work without stress. You know, if I have a deadline and it's not for a client, but it's a self-imposed deadline, but my kids need me in that moment, I decide, well, you know what? That deadline's going to have to be pushed because his needs right now in the moment are more important.
Right.
And I can do that.
So, you talked about blogging.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you blog about? What's the name of your blog? What do you blog about?
So the name of my blog is Mama in the Now, M-A-M-A, in the now, not in the no, but in the now. So I blog about my life with the 4 boys. There's some parenting tips. I blog a lot about Lego because Lego is our life with 4 boys. And some motherhood tips and things like that. And then I'm starting a new blog called Hygge in the Now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you are definitely taking this to the next step.
Yeah. You know, I left the corporate world in 2015. And so I've been home parenting, blogging since then. And it's really my passion. It's my using the strengths that I have, you know, working in the corporate world just wasn't working for me when you're a mother of 4.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, juggling the kids and the corporate, you know, I loved my job, but when you have to apologize for being a mom every day, then that got to be not so much fun. Yeah. So I love what I'm doing now. I'm my own boss. I obviously don't make as much money as before, but again, it's not that important. We have our basic needs met, you know? Right. So I don't have, you know, instead of 5 pairs of yoga pants, I have 4 pairs of yoga pants. I'm really enjoying it. So that's Mama in the Now. And then I also have a Facebook group called Parenting in the Now. And we don't even talk about parenting anymore. It started out as a parenting group and now it's just all moms just having a good time in there.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I use a lot of humor in my blog and in my groups and everything. Because to me, every moment you can wake up and you can be stressed, you can be, feel anxious, and trust me, I have my fair share of that. But then I can also read a funny meme and be like, okay, now that was funny. And, you know, I don't know what, but, you know, this time has really sent out a slew of funny memes and you know, a good sense of humor and puns. And so.
Oh, yeah. I saw this one meme, and it was a restaurant in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Did you see that? Yeah. And it was just a whole list. They would change their marquee every day, I guess it looked like. And just very fun. Whoever was behind it is super funny and creative.
Oh, genius. Yes.
And I was just reading. I was like, there's more, there's more, there's more. But yeah, laughter has been a great way to get through this for me personally. Just to be able to sit and laugh and joke and watch funny movies and, you know, play tickle fight with the kids. They love that.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to force, you know, whatever, or try to wish that this whole thing is over, because we don't know how long we'll be here. We don't know. But this is the thing. Everyone was happy with the consistency, except for life is always unpredictable. Every decade, we've had some kind of major issue, especially in the U.S., that has uprooted people and changed people. And yes, this is on a bigger scale and it affects more people, but it's not new. This particular issue is new, obviously, the virus and actually being quarantined. But I was around in 2007, 2008, wherein a bunch of people lost their homes. You know, they had their homes and... Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden they couldn't pay their mortgage and they couldn't refinance and they lost their homes to foreclosure and driving down streets of boarded up houses of a bunch of people who there's no one living there. And that took years for us to recover. I think we'll come back stronger on the other side. But I think acceptance is really the biggest part of just, and I think that's being what you said, be in the now. Is just kind of accepting this is where we are today. It's not great. It's not what you want it to be, but this is where we are. So what do we do with it now that we're here?
Exactly. And that's really, excuse me, what Hygge is. It's accepting the moment. It's not perfect. You know, I had a reader contact me on Instagram. And she said, you know, I really like this Hygge thing, but I see all the Instagram accounts and they're styled, you know, scan design homes that, you know, have a little fuzzy blanket in the corner and they just look so perfect. And I don't think I'm that person. And she said, what should I do? And I said, oh, dear God, you know, I just wanted to hug her. I said, I am the least perfect person. And for all my social media, I am very real. I am, you know, this is, you see what you get, you know, and I try definitely not to have that perfect Instagram account because that is not life and that is not Hygge. It's not, you know, it's a distressed frame on a wall with a picture of a loved one. You know, it's not that fancy scan design home. And, you know, I have succulents in every windowsill in my house and it's not perfect. And I feel like that is what we need to learn is embrace, you know, no, this is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Nobody here wants this quarantine and this horrible virus that, you know, is threatening our loved ones and us, but let's make the most of it because it's the cards that we've been dealt. And as a, you know, working mom, since 2017, in my personal life, I've had like one thing after another where I've said, okay, once this is over, I'm going to write, or I'm going to publish this book, or I'm going to do this. And, you know, first it was, you know, my mom was diagnosed with cancer and it's just one thing after another. It was just big things and we moved and everything. And then finally you said the epiphany. So I had an epiphany and it was just last week. I said, you know, you are just going to, I was telling myself, you're gonna have to stop waiting for the rain to stop and just learn to work with the rain, you know, just stop waiting for the storm to pass and just work with the storm, because the storm's not going to pass. This is life, you know? Yes. And I think from being from Florida, and I know you're in Florida, mm-hmm. we might have some skills that people in other parts of the country might not have, from dealing with hurricanes all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband and I, we get up every day, we look at each other and we just literally laugh, because if we don't, then we'd start bicker and probably cry, you know, but right. It's like, what day is it? I don't know. Does it even matter? I don't know. No, it doesn't. How many Zoom calls do we have? I don't even know, you know, no. And we just laugh, because this is such a weird time, but I was telling a friend, it feels like we're waiting for a hurricane that's just not going to come. It's the most anticlimactic time.
Well, I don't know. Irma was pretty anticlimactic.
Yeah, that's true.
All of that prep work.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, that was the last hurricane we experienced, and then we left.
Yeah. And that now I can't get my mind off of the memes, but, you know, I think of the one that says, someday is not a day of the week.
Yes.
And because we're always waiting, everyone puts everything on the back burner and in the hopes that they're going to get more time, more this, more that. And now we have more time, and some people are doing things and some people aren't. And granted, I'm not making a judgment call, because they've got to do what's right for them. But if it's more time you needed, you have more time.
So. Yes, exactly. Well, that's actually when I saw your email and you know, your call for people interested in a podcast, I thought, well, I could wait for this to pass, and, you know, maybe there's a better time. No, right now is a good time.
Right now is a good time. Yeah. And that was how it was even starting it, because I was going to wait to start. And then I said, what am I waiting for? That's really what it came down to.
Well, and I think, you know, bringing it back to women in their 40s, I also think you know, some of us are starting to, or have already been dealing with aging parents. Yeah. So we're realizing we have a reality thrown in our face, that not that we're running out of time, but this is our one shot at life, you know? Yeah. So we don't want to waste it, because the top layer of our sandwich might be struggling. You know, my sister and I lost my mom here in December to lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And so we're orphans now. I'm a 46-year-old orphan, and because my dad passed 12 years ago. And so that was really hard for me. More than anything, you know, I miss my mom. I used to talk to her every day. But the thought of being an orphan and not having your parents, that was life-changing to me. And I think that's something a lot of women in their 40s deal with, having to become a caregiver for their parents, or just realizing, wow, the way I viewed my parents growing up, that's how my kids are viewing me, because I'm that old now.
Right,
you know?
Right. Now we're the ages that when we were young, they're like, oh, that's so old. And it's like, no, not really. Not only is it not that old, we could live another 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, honestly, we can't. I mean, the average lifespan for a woman is over 70. So we could easily live another 30, 40, even 50 years. And part of the reason I started this was, I don't think we spend enough time paying attention to the fact that we still have a whole life to live. You know, our kids are growing up. You know, unfortunately, I have a 6-year-old, so I'm still in it for a little while. But
yeah, me too.
Eventually, they'll be out of the house. And I want to have a life that makes me happy once they're gone.
Yes.
And I don't want to give up. I mean, I love being a parent. I love my kids. But at some point, they're going to go and they're going to have their own life. And I don't want to be the person who's crying that my children aren't home. What am I going to do? I want to be able to still be happy and still have my own things and be happy when they come and visit, or I go to visit them. So,
and have your interests and your strengths that you're drawing upon, you know, your own business or hobbies or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I I feel so sad. I talked to some of my friends, and during all of this, they're like, oh, I just, you know, I realize I don't have any hobbies. I don't have any interests. I have so much time on my hands. And yeah. And that's really eye-opening too, because we've been moms for, 5 to 15 years or more at this point. And, you could sort of lose yourself very easily.
Well, I would even take that a step further, because, in the last couple of years, there's been this self-care movement of, taking care of yourself, which of course is super important, but everyone gives all these suggestions and I'm looking at them like, they're fine. Like, I don't mind a good bath. I don't mind getting my nails done, but it doesn't really rejuvenate me. So, looking and searching for those hobbies that just bring you back to yourself, it really took some time to find it. And I'm still kind of searching, looking, trying different things, going out outside of my comfort zone. And it's interesting. I like being active, but I don't like being outdoors, which makes it very hard to be active. But I like the water. So I want to do more like kayaking and paddleboarding and things like that. And of course, now we can't do any of that. But
yeah,
to circle it back, I actually have a post on my Instagram, and I'll be putting up another. I saw this another graphic that had all sorts of self-care that just wasn't limited to things you do. Also including things like meditation, but sleep.
Okay.
Making sure you get enough sleep.
it's like you just threw me this ball that I'm going to take and run with now. Go because I'm taking this course called The Science of Well-Being. Okay. And it's hosted by Yale, but it's online. Mm-hmm. And it's about the science of happiness and how to be happy, truly, genuinely happy. Because as we talked about, the career, the shiny purse, the distressed jeans are not necessarily going to make you happy. So throughout the course, they have weekly exercises that you do. And they're trying to prove to us at the end of the course, of course, that these things do make you happy. So I'll share with you what those things are. They're healthy habits. And okay. I like them because they don't take you out to the pedicure place, and you don't need to take a bath. They're just very simple things. And you've heard them all, of course, but they make sense. So gratitude journaling. Take 10 minutes every night, very simple things, and write 5 things down that you're grateful for.
Okay.
Of course, you're grateful for your family. Of course, you're grateful for the food on your table, but find five things each day that you were truly grateful for. And as you remember your day, you sort of, you take it all in, and you're mindful of that moment. And they have savoring. So take an experience from each day, like as you're going through your day, and savor, find a moment to savor. So whether it's you cooking a meal and you're thinking, wow, this is going to be a great meal, I'm preparing this food, just really focus to be in that moment. And then at night, write that down. Write down how that experience was, how it made you feel. And this should only take you a few minutes. It's a good thing to do like right before bedtime, that type of routine. They have meditation for 10 minutes a day, nothing big. So, none of this takes you out of your home. None of this, costs money, which is what I like. Like things that you can do anytime, anywhere, and your income doesn't, determine whether you're going to be a success or not. They say make social connections. And that's something I've been trying to do with my Hygge in the Now Instagram account. I call it Spread Hygge, Not Germs.
Okay.
So just make a social connection every day. And I know that's hard. We can't go see people in person. Mm-hmm. But I've been texting random people on my contact list, people that I've sort of lost touch with, and just said, hey, right, thinking of you, how are you? And, I've gotten, oh my God, how are you? And I can't believe you reached out to me today, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. My son and I have gone for walks, picked flowers, and left the little bouquet at a, you know, neighbor's doorstep that I knew was probably struggling or something. If you're scrolling through your newsfeed and you see, you know, we all have those people that just have a bad day or a bad year or whatever, send them a private message. Say, hey, I'm thinking of you, or I saw your post. I hope everything is okay. Right. You know, just make that social connection a little bit deeper than just putting a sad face on their Facebook post. You know, reach out. And again, doesn't cost any money. Random acts of kindness, that's another good one. And sometimes that's a little bit hard now that we're stuck at home. But like I said, you know, we've been picking wildflowers. I put them in a nice clean spaghetti jar, you know, a little glass jar, and leave them on somebody's doorstep. Or we've had a box of books that the kids don't read anymore on our front doorstep with a note, free books for kids or whatever. And a can of Lysol was next to it in case people wanted to use that.
Right.
And then, so an exercise for 30 minutes, nothing strenuous, just, you know, take the dog for a walk or go for a bike ride, that type of thing, and sleep. So that was part of their self-care in this happiness course, was get 4 nights a week, get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. And of course, right now that's a little bit easier than probably when everyday life starts back again, but sleep is more important than we actually think it is. Right. And then the last thing they have us do, and I haven't done it yet, but I think it's going to be super impactful, and it's something I probably want to start doing. They said to write a gratitude letter. So write a physical letter to someone in your life who's made a big difference. If you could, you should probably go deliver it in person, which we can't do right now, but I have a couple people in mind I was gonna, you know, that have really impacted my life, but I probably not thanked properly.
Right.
Just write a letter. They said, you know, 300 words or so, call them up, read it to them, mail it to them, but, or maybe do a Zoom call with them. But, just showing gratitude will help you with your own happiness. And that's a form of self-care.
Oh, that's amazing.
I love those ideas because again, they don't take you out of your house. You can still wear your graphic tee and your yoga pants, you know, and they don't cost money. They take little time. They're things that you can do even, you know, while the kids are watching Peppa Pig, you can journal real quick or something,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So the barrier to entry, like most of us should be able to get those done.
Get that. Yeah. I remember, in high school, I actually spent some time, a lot of time. My parents moved far away from my high school and I wanted to stay at the high school I was going to. So my girlfriend's mom or parents allowed me to stay there basically 3 nights a week, my entire senior year. And so I didn't know, I wasn't sure, and I probably didn't because I was a kid, thanked her. So I sent her on, when she friended me on Facebook, I sent her this thank you letter because I was so appreciative of not having to stress about where I was going to sleep at night. Not to say my parents would have let me sleep on the street.
No, of course, but also in your high school kid mind.
Right. You're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I asked her and she's like, of course, come on. She's like, the only thing, they're Mormon. And so the only thing was, we get up and pray every day at 6 a.m. I was like, whoa, that's early. And she said, yes. And then most of the people, well, they pray before the first person leaves. And the dad left at 6.
Okay.
So, but then everyone would go back to sleep. So, but other than that, and she made it clear, she's like, I expect you to participate in that. And I said, okay, that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
So, and it was helpful because my senior year, I was done with school at noon. So we would come back and go back to sleep, come back after school and go back to sleep. But, it's the feeling of being able to thank people and the fact that we have the connection on Facebook to reach out to people that we haven't seen in years. I mean, yeah. I know people from, I have fourth grade friends on my list of school I went to, elementary school and middle school and high school. And that's just so, it's nice. It's very nice. It gives
you a sense of community.
Yeah. And you can still reach out to them. And one of the things, so my birthday was on April 21st. And one of the things that I really appreciated actually about being in this time is I was able to invite my best friend whom I haven't been able to spend a birthday with in 20 years. And she could be on the call because I didn't have to do this, like, she didn't have to be a separate celebration. She could be part of the celebration. So and she's in Hawaii. And then I have a friend in Baltimore. And both of them, I can never see on my birthday because they don't live here. Oh, so I was able to invite them to be part of the celebratory activities without like doing extra work of, okay, well, I got to call you, you know, on my birthday, you know, or they call me or whatever. They could just be part of the festivities like I would for the friends that are local. So the social connection, that has helped me, you know, with the social connection part, because I'm really typically an extrovert. But, you know, it's okay. We're at home for right now.
Yeah.
But I love all of those.
The most of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to. We will never be able to say we had this time again. Like, no. Not likely, hopefully not. Hopefully we don't have to do this again. So yeah, I do want to make the most of it, but at the same time, taking a step back and not trying to force anything. So, you know, like you said, having the unproductive days, some days just not a lot gets done.
And I see a lot of people, unfortunately, on Facebook, beating themselves up on their unproductive days. Cause this is a very emotional time and there's no textbook.
You know,
there's really no textbook that says how we should feel or anything. And my kindergartner, you know, he's six and some days he's like, I don't want to do schoolwork. And I'm like, okay, buddy, school, honestly, you know, just, I hear you, buddy. And I lean into what he's feeling. And some days I don't feel like parenting. So so not much gets done that day, you know, just, I think we have to give ourselves grace and show ourselves as much patience as we show others to get through this.
Definitely.
And that's part of, you know, be where you are, be in the moment and feel, you know, just sort of put feelers out. How's everybody feeling today? You know, if my six-year-old wakes up feeling productive, I'm going to hit that schoolwork hard because I know he's going to peter out pretty quick, you know?
Right.
and then we can get stuff done. And yesterday he was having a big meltdown, so we went for a walk instead. I couldn't force sight words on him one more time.
Right. Well, thank you. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I love what you're doing and I love connecting, especially with women in their 40s, because I feel like we have, you know, something to share.
We do. Are there any other places people can find you online? I think you gave all of them away, right?
So there's Mama in the Now, MAMA in the Now, and Hygge is spelled HYGGE in the Now. And Parenting in the Now is a Facebook group. So. Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. And I hope you get through this time and with lots of memories.
Yes, we are making plenty of memories. I'm not taking any pictures though. all up here in my head.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.